Amen? All right, I got to preach, I guess. I'm going to come up here today because I am on a roll. Thank you, baby. Thank you, thank you. You guys set that up just great. Are you happy yet? Yes. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Yes. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about faithfulness. We've been talking about how good God is and the faithfulness of God I talked about, and that he is committed to you for your whole life. Do you know that God is committed to you for your whole life? Yes. Okay, so, and we had Maylene give her testimony of how when she stood in faith and she gave her offerings and tithes to the Lord, that God was faithful to his promise about seed time and harvest. Amen? She got a house. She got a new job. Awesome. Because God knows what you need even before you ask him, but he says, ask and you shall receive. Amen? And so when we are not faithful to him, it's because we have to change our mind about something. When we forgot what he used to say to us, when we have fear that he's not going to come through, when Satan has got you to buy a lie that he is not who he said he is, it's a lie. He is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he will do. Yeah, sometimes we have not been faithful to him, so we think he can't be faithful to us. Oh, but he is faithful. It doesn't matter what you do. He remains faithful because that is who he is. He is our faithful God. Amen? Amen. And so your situation is never too impossible for him. And he is right in the midst of your situation. Okay, so God wants you to know that it doesn't look like things are fair. How many of you know it doesn't look like things are fair? Somebody else some horrible sinner that you know that you've judged because they're horrible sinners instead of caring about them. But just a side note, they might win the lottery. They might win the lottery. And you go, hey, what about me? Well, first of all, did you buy a ticket? Just saying, I don't do that. But if you are judging someone, if you're not happy for what they have, That is between them and God. God is faithful. We'll take the tithe, though. Yeah. Just saying. Oral Roberts built a whole hospital on somebody's gambling wins, and they got mad at him because he took dirty money. I got news for you. You better check out every bit of your money because it's all dirty from somewhere. Yeah. But God has a way of redeeming things. Amen? And he is a faithful God. So God will give us what he promised he would give us. So today, I am going to concentrate on the faithfulness of Jesus. The faithfulness of Jesus. So I have 19 pages. You know that won't happen. But I didn't know what. I could preach on each one of these things all day long. Because what is cover to cover? What is it about? What is the Bible about? From Genesis to Revelation, what's it about? It's about Jesus. He's revealed in every book. He's revealed in every way. He is revealed. He is everything to everyone at all times, in every situation. It's about Jesus. And so he, at the council of God, remember when the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, got together before the foundations of the world? And they came together and they knew first that there was going to be a creation plan. They knew that they would give people that they were going to create, they were going to give them their own will. We don't understand that. But they decided they would do it because they didn't want robots. They wanted people who were going to recognize how wonderful and awesome and redemptive that they were from before the foundations of the world, that they had a plan in place to redeem everything about you that you would make a mistake on. And so they came together and they made a decision. And Jesus said, I will go. Now, he wasn't just going to go. He wasn't just going to come to this earth. He was going to come with redemption in mind because he's faithful. And so he's been faithful from the beginning. He hasn't changed. He is faithful from the beginning. Okay. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. You know what that means? It means the divine expression. In the beginning was the divine expression. Oh, his name is Jesus, though. In the beginning was a divine expression that was coming to give us the divine expression. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Mind blown. Because divine supremacy. There, it means the Word was divine supremacy. You cannot divide the Father from the Son and the Holy Ghost because they work in unity and they are all faithful, but they have different things that they took assignments to do. Okay? So why can we believe that in our family, you know, well, I'll have to use somebody else's family because my cat can't take out the garbage. But in most families, there are assignments. Somebody is assigned to do the dishes. Someone is assigned to to cook. Somebody is assigned to clean up afterwards. Somebody is assigned to take out the trash. Hallelujah. Someone is assigned to things. And yet we are all carry the same last name in a family. So why do we think that's okay, but we can't understand the Trinity? We have the same name. We're of the same family. They just have different things that they've been assigned to do, and they've been faithful to their assignments. Well, hallelujah. And so, all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made by him. You think he knows how to take care of the things he made? You think he needs a rule book? No. Okay, and the Word was made flesh. The Word, the divine expression of God, was now made flesh. He was made with human nature, with frailties, physical and moral. He could have sinned. Tempted in all things, like we are. And yet, what? Without sin. Why? Because he was deity? No. Because he chose right. Because he overcame temptation. Because he was faithful. He drew the line. He said, I will go. I will go for them. I will go because we all know what they're going to do. We know that when they're given a choice, they're going to choose wrong. We know that they're going to need a redeemer. We know that there has to be bloodshed. We know that there has to be a redemption plan, and I'm going to be the redemption plan. And so he drew the line and he said, I'm not going to ever back up from the redemption plan. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, and I don't care what the cost is, and I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it alone because I can't do it without you, Dad. The all-knowing one, the all-powerful one, you better be with me. So he knew his Father was faithful, so God, Jesus, was faithful to the Father. I said Jesus was faithful to the Father. Amen. And so God wrapped himself in flesh and became human and was born as a human, and they shall call his name Jesus. Hallelujah. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten one of the Father. The one that was sent, the one that was assigned, the one that showed us truth, full of grace and truth, full of the divine impression upon his heart that enabled him to be what he was supposed to be and to do what he had to do. He had the same grace that they have given us available to him. The divine influence upon his heart that enabled him to do what he had to do. To be who he had to be. And he brought truth to us. And I looked it up, and you know what truth meant? It meant truth. Yeah. He is the truth. If you want to know what truth looks like, don't look in a dictionary. Don't look in an encyclopedia. Don't Google it. Look at him. Jesus is altogether truth. That's who he is. He is truth. He is life. He is the way. There is no other way. He's the truth about everything. If you want to know how to live your life, look at the truth. If you want to know how to think about others, look at the truth. If you want to know how you're supposed to be connected to God, look at the truth. If you want to know how to be empowered, well, look at the truth. Well, if you want to know how to overcome all the tactics of the enemy, well, look at the truth. Because he's altogether truth. That is who he is. And he dwelt among men. And he's still dwelling among men. Okay, so our kids are at the ramp this past weekend, and, you know, they gave testimonies last night from some of the kids, not our kids, but they had testimonies that people were, you know, this poor generation, well, it's not poor anymore because they're coming to the revelation of the truth. But you know, they're facing things that we never thought we'd face. They're looking at things that are unbelievably askewed. They're being lied to. They're being put down. They're being bullied in such ways that we couldn't even imagine. They're being mistreated and abandoned. There is so much that they deal with on a regular basis. And yet, you drop them in the midst of God's presence for 3 days and afternoons and nights and start over. And they start finding out that underneath that boat that they thought that they were stuck in because of all the debris underneath it, all they had to do was back up and behold the truth. Amen. All they had to do was gaze upon the one who deserves their gaze. All they had to do was decide Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All they had to do was recognize that everything else underneath the surface is nothing but gunk. And all they have to do is step back and go, huh? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And when you actually behold him, there is nothing that can hold you back. Oh. Okay, so, well, where can you find him? Well, I don't know. I mean, I went to Reverend Angeli's church, and Jesus was faithful to be there. I mean, you know, he was faithful to show up on Friday nights and bring miracles. He was faithful when I got baptized in water to change my heart. He was faithful to bring the word so that we knew that it was right. He was faithful to build a foundation. But I went to the Nazarene church for the vacation Bible school. The Nazarene church. And he was faithful to give me an invitation to become his bride. Jesus was faithful to me. I went to the Holy Roller place. In the tents where they literally rolled on sawgrass. And I went, well, that is weird. But how come I like it? Oh, you can't scare me with that kind of stuff. I've been there and I've felt the Holy One. I've beheld him in that place. A little bit of weirdness never hurt anybody. Amen. It might just stir you in a place you've never been stirred before, though. It might just shake you up to have to wonder why you sit so still in a church service when there is someone who has been so faithful to you that he deserves your praise and he deserves you to act like he did something for you, and you can't just sit there anymore and go, he is faithful. To who? To me! He's faithful to me! Yeah, I could come undone. Okay. I would go to bed at night when I was little. And I'd pray. You know, we were taught to say our prayers at night. My mom and my dad got down on the side of the bed to show me how to pray. What is wrong with the generations? They haven't been taught to behold the Lamb. And so I would be in my bed, and he was there. Jesus was faithful to be there. The devil tried to come because he knew there was a call on my life. And so he would. We had 13 stairs. Oh, my Lord is right. 13, even the number. Okay? And they squeaked. So you knew which stair they were on. I memorized the squeaks. And there would be this demon that would try to come up the stairs. And I could, and breathe heavy. Squeak, squeak, squeak. I'd be like, my God, he's almost to the top of the stairs. And I'd be so afraid, I'd be laying in bed going, Lord Jesus. But I couldn't say it out of my mouth because I would be frozen in fear. But you know what? My God was faithful. Do you know what that demon did? Nothing. You know why he couldn't do nothing to me? Because my God is faithful. Jesus was faithful in that situation. Finally, I thought, people think I was crazy, so I didn't tell my mom and dad. I go, there is a demon in the house. And I go, I keep trying to tell it to go, but I can't get my mouth open. And they said, well, just open your mouth and say the blood. I go, okay. Up he comes. Squeak. Squeak. He got almost to the top. I'm waiting for him now. I'm like, the blood. You know, he never came back. Because the blood of the Holy One defeated him. And the blood will never, ever lose its power. Well, how come they're still breathing down my neck? I don't know. Have you said the blood of Jesus is against you? Do you know the power of his love? Have you beheld the Lamb? Are you sitting at his feet and excited about his presence? Do you sit there until he shows up, or you just go, well, I guess he's not here today? Do you know he is always present? Do you know he's everywhere? Well, okay. So I went to the Assemblies of God. Amazing. Jesus was there. Went to a Baptist church. Amazing. Jesus was there too. But I went roller skating and he was there too. And I went to the grocery store and he was there too. And I went out with my friends, and he was there too. If I wanted him to be, he was still there, hovering over the situation, going, I am faithful. Because Jesus is faithful to his commission. He's never changing. He drew the line. He said, no, I'm not. I'm going to complete my assignment. I'm going to complete my assignment. I don't know how many people in the body of Christ are drawing lines and saying, I am going to complete my assignment because he is worthy of it. And you know what? He'll make you happy about it. Oh, I have to do that. Now that's your religious thinking. The check marks, I got to do this right, I got to do that right, I got to. Oh my God. Just behold the Lamb and you'll fall in love with him. And then you'll want to do what he wants you to do. And then you'll find out he wants you to do exactly what you were built for. And then you get happy about doing it. You know that they could take me and they could put me anywhere in the world and they could take away any title and they could take away my congregation and they could say I was unworthy. And if there was one person there, you know what I'd be talking about? Jesus. Yes. You know why? Because I made a decision. I'm going to complete my assignment. Amen. He is completing his assignment. Okay. Those kids are going to come back, and you know what they're going to need? They're going to need to know that the church is faithful to them. They're going to need to know that their parents are faithful to him. They're going to need to know that Jesus is faithful when they go to school. That he is going to be there to hover around them and to help them to go through whatever they face at school. That instead of going there expecting to be mistreated, they're the ones that are going to treat somebody right so they get hungry for what they have because they have beheld the Lamb of God. And Jesus is still faithful when we call upon his name. Call upon me and I will answer. Is there any question in that remark? Call upon me and I will answer. Wow. You mean we could call upon Jesus? Well, yes. And is he faithful to answer you? Yes. He's committed to us wherever we are. Faithful to his commitments. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. Never. Well, maybe he will. Maybe he can't see him being around me. Oh, no. No, no, no. Lies. He will be there for you in the worst of your worst. Because he is faithful to his commission. He has been faithful from the beginning and he will be faithful to the end. You don't have to worry about Jesus' faithfulness. You don't have to think about his faithfulness. He said he was faithful. He's going to act faithful. He's going to be faithful. He is going to do all the things that faithful people do because he is decided, set, commissioned, on task, never getting off a task. Hallelujah. Whew. There's nobody else like Jesus. Beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what you find out about him? Faithful, 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 faithful. Amazing, wonderful, oh, glorious, praiseworthy, functioning like no regular human being, faithful Jesus. Shows up in the Old Testament, they call him Christophanies. Shows up like an angel. Shows up in different form. Shows up because you know why? Jesus always was there. And guess what? Jesus is always here. And guess what? Jesus will always be. The faithfulness of Jesus. There is no man like Jesus. There is no person like Jesus, but Jesus. Oh, but he has commissioned us to become like him. We are becoming. We are becoming like him. Into the image of God as sons and daughters, being transformed. Okay. 1 Peter 1:19, but with precious blood of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Foreknown before the foundation of the world. The blood was going to be applied. They knew from the foundation of the world. Before God said, be. And there was, they were. Before the Holy Spirit breathed upon the waters, they were. Before Adam and Eve were formed, they were. And while they sinned against God, they still were who they said they were going to be. They did what they said they were going to do. They act like they said they were going to act. There was redemption from before the foundation and before the fall. Redemption was already in place. Because Jesus is faithful to the commission. And you're the commission. We're the commission. They're the commission. Hallelujah. He came for you. He came for me. He came for them. This is not just statements that we make because we're in church. This can't be. Oh God. Here's what is easy to do. It happens. We think we already know this. I've heard this all my life. Have you? Maybe you've heard somebody say it, but have you heard it? Because there's a difference in hearing words and having it resound on the inside of you until your spirit aligns with the Spirit of God and your soul starts shaking so that the things that need to shake off fall to the ground. Have you heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or do you just know about it? There are plenty of preachers in the United States of America. You can turn on any channel and hear a bunch of good stuff and hear a bunch of bad stuff too. You can decide whether you believe that. Some of it, I hope you don't, because it's ridiculous. If it doesn't line exactly up with the word, don't believe it. I don't care what they say. Make sure it's in context. Look throughout the Bible. Make sure everything lines up with everything else God said. Don't just let them pick and choose something that they're going to sell you. Pick and choose the Lamb of God. And his commitment to you, that will never fail. Just listen to what they say about Jesus. Just listen to what they say about him. Do they even talk about him anymore? Do they talk about the blood? Do they talk about what it meant? Do they talk about his sacrifice? Are we so busy trying to get money that we listen to only the people that talk about money? He said he would provide for all your needs. But who's providing for them? Oh, I know. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's who. You can't take them out of the equation. Don't choose your favorite thing to believe. Well, I believe for, I heard somebody say this. They said, the Lord said to them, you've been asking me 3 years for revival, but have you been talking about my son? Have you been beholding my son? Well, we are not having revival without Jesus being the center. I mean, I want revival, don't you? I want to be revived. I want revival. I want a bunch of crazy people madly in love with Jesus to change the world. I do. But you know what revival is? People madly about Jesus. Madly in love with him. Unashamedly bold. That's what brings revival, not praying for revival. You know what we want? We want somebody else to do it. We want somebody else to bring revival. We don't want to be revivalist. We want somebody else to bring revival so they'll make it easy for us. Because we think, okay, all we have to do is walk in the parking lot and we'll get slain in the spirit. Everything will be okay. But everything hasn't been okay and lots of people have been slain in the parking lot. You know what makes a difference in revival? Does Jesus remain the center? Is it about him or is it about somebody bringing it? Is it about him or the signs and the wonders that follow? Or is it about him, the Lamb of God, who gave his life for you? If we center on what we need to center on, he will come. And when he comes, he will come with his glory. And he will come with all of the things that you have need of. And yes, people will be whatever in the presence of the Lord, however it looks, and we don't care. And we have already decided, well, that we will go with whatever he wants. But we cannot pray for revival and not be willing to stay focused on him. Amen. Well, if you do this for me, did you ever bargain with God? If you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. If you do this for me, okay, let's go back. He saved you. He delivered you. He took stripes for you for your healing. He overcame every disease. He left glory to become a man so he could be tempted in any way, every way like as we are. And yet without sin, he was beaten so bad that he was disfigured. You couldn't even tell who he was anymore. He shed his blood. He went to hell. He took the keys away from Satan. He defeated him in the moment. And he rose again. And then he showed up to his disciples and said, I'm going to breathe on you. And the Holy Spirit breathed on them. And then they became different people, saved from a Savior who then went to the upper room and began to have an overflow of the Spirit. And we are here today because the plan of God was commissioned, instilled, and done. And now he says, be like me. Now he says, you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives on the inside of you. And how does that look in your life? Well, I don't know how it looks in my life. I do my best. No, you don't. You can't even do it in your own strength. He never said you could do it in your own strength. He didn't do it in his own strength. Jesus didn't even do it in his own strength. Is this like, okay, it's in here somewhere. You have to recognize the magnificence of his willingness to become the lamb that would be slain for you. You. I mean, it's so easy to say he was slain for the world. Well, you're the world. Are you in the world? Yeah. Okay. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, we share in a heavenly calling. Isn't that glorious anyway? Fix your thoughts on, guess who? Jesus. The apostle and high priest whom we confess out of our mouth, out of our life, out of the way we live. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Jesus was faithful to God. Oh boy. John 8:28. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, bang, 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 then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. He didn't even hang on the cross by himself. Oh, I could go there. So he had blood from his hands so that you could follow in doing what he asked you to do. He had blood in his feet so you could go where he told you to go. He had blood dripping from the crown of thorns on his head so you could begin to think like he thinks. And we talk about the cross like it's, yeah, he went to the cross. You need to just watch the Passion every day. Oh, no. Lord, it's right. And that's not even what it was like. It was worse than the Passion. If you can only imagine, let's not, but let's. Okay. John 8:29. He that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. The Father was with Jesus. You know, we always concentrate on, I didn't do anything, you know, without hearing from him. You know, next part of the verse. He hath not let me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We're always talking about how Jesus was pleasing the Father, how he didn't do or go anywhere that the Father didn't tell him. But how about the flip side of that? That God was always there for him. The Father was always present with him. That you couldn't separate them out. That he was unable to do this on his own without the Father, but he never had to be without the Father. And he never had to be without the Holy Ghost. They were working in union because they had a commission in mind. They knew what had to happen, and they loved us so much, they didn't care about what the cost was going to be. We divide our life up by cost. Well, I don't have that much time. So I'm only going to give this much time in prayer. I'm only going to give this much time to working. I'm only going to give this much time to, you know, witnessing to somebody. I'm only going to give this much time to praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm only going to give that because we are creatures that say, oh, we only have these many hours in a day, so we have to save some of it for our selfishness. Because I don't feel like doing that. Well, who said your feelings get to vote? If you are beholding the Lamb for who he is and what he done for you, you should be like, how do I die? How do I get to the point where I am dying enough for you that I begin to live like you so they don't have to die and go to hell? How do you... What do I have to do? Lord Jesus, help me to have the same sacrificial mindset that you have every day for me. Because when I call on you, no matter what I've done, you answer, here am I. How do I get to that point where I am not saying, I will give this, 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 and that, but not that? How do we be sellout people to honor him for being sold out for us? Oh, we don't like to think about that because it might cost you something. It will cost you everything. It'll cost your mindset changing. Praise the name of the Most High God. We get to change our minds. Hallelujah. You know what your problem is? Your mind. Your thoughts, pretty much, mostly are in the garbage can, underneath, stuck in the rudders. Because we can't stay up with faith. We're not confessing faith. We're not confessing truth. We're not believing the word anymore. We're just circumstances. This is what they said on the news. We're all going to starve to death. Do you know? Except for the Bible says that the righteous will never be begging bread. Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Jesus came. Committed to do the will of the Father. He didn't come to show off. Listen, we have a bunch of show-offs in the American church. We do. I mean, just turn on, I won't say what channel, but you can turn it on. And you could go, oh, that guy's trying to outdo that guy. Or, why did that guy change himself? Oh, I know. He wants those skinny leg things. Because that guy wears skinny leg pants. Or, oh, what are we missing? Oh, I know. We need twirly lights. We need to have louder music. We got to reach the next generation. Do you know that the next generation has all that in clubs? They got skinny jeans and worse. They've got twirly lights and loud music. That is not what is going to change this generation. You know what's going to change the generation? The acknowledgement of the Lamb of God. the understanding of the price that he paid so that they don't have to live like what the dictates of the world. When they get their identity back, when they understand that God formed them exactly with the DNA that they needed, and then he stuck them in their mother's womb so that they could come out and be developed and produce the kingdom of God on the earth, and that it will fulfill their innermost desires, they will be happy. In the meantime, they're comparing Christianity to the world and hoping that we can get their attention. There's a lot of raspberries in this sermon. Because it's just ridiculous what Satan has been able to do. Because our focus is not on what our focus needs to be on in order to live productive lives for the kingdom and in order to change the next generation so that they can change the next generation. Do you know that our God is a generational God? Do you know that he sent his son? He didn't send some creation. Oh, God. Do you know why he sent his son? Why did the father decide to send his son? Huge statement. He's generational. He took his very own son. And he sowed seed of his son in the ground to produce sons and daughters. Because he's generational. Jesus was the first seed of many brethren. Jesus. Who is it? Jesus. What's it about? Jesus. Who's faithful? Jesus. Who did God count on? Jesus. Who did Jesus count on? God. Who did Jesus send? The Holy Ghost, so we can understand this. Because he's the revelator. Oh, boy. Okay. Somebody say amen. He was faithful to display the Father. Colossians 1:15 says he is the image. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. So what does the Father look like? He doesn't look like the bad guy in the chair that has got a stick that is going to beat you with it. If you want to know what the Father looks like, behold the Lamb. If you want to know how he loves you, behold the Lamb. If you want to know what he's willing to do for you, behold the sacrifice. Behold the sacrifice. Generational. He's a generational God. He included every generation in what he was doing. We're still here. It's 2,000 years later. He's faithful to every generation, to bring forth another generation. John 1:18 says this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, but he has declared him. How did he declare him? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to know what Jesus is like, read the Bible. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He will be the same tomorrow. He's never changing. You can count on him. He's not going to get off of the throne and kick you. Not going to do it. He's sitting on the throne going, Father, mercy, just grace. Have more mercy. Have more grace. Give him more time. The Father's like, I'm going to pull the plug. These people are on my last nerve. Jesus is like, but I love him. You sent me to love him. Isn't that the plan? Isn't that the command? Do you know how many times, if I was God, we'd all be dead. I mean, you know, when it was raining a lot, I'm like, I don't blame you, but you do have a rainbow. You know, like, the world is crazy. And it seems to be dark, But in great darkness, there is great light. Okay. He showed the Father's will. Jesus showed the Father's will when he healed the lame, when he healed the blind, when he healed the woman with the issue of blood. Every healing, every miracle that you find in the Bible that Jesus did shows the heart of the Father. It shows his heart. It shows what he was willing to do. He paid the price so that we could be healed. Those stripes, they were real. So why aren't we healed? Well, we read it, but we don't behold it. We don't behold it enough to believe what the word says, because if we did, we could be walking around whole. And I believe that with all of my heart. Behold what he has done. Hide it in your heart. Believe him for it. Jesus showed the will of the Father when he raised the dead. Resurrection power. The same spirit that lived in him, that raised him from the dead, lives in who? Us. The church. His people. Well, I don't know a whole lot of people raising the dead right now. I mean, you know, you might catch a few, and then they have to go with the TV cameras to make sure it's real. But there are healings and miracles happening everywhere because you know what? It's still real. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is enough to resurrect a dead body and heal anybody sick. Jesus showed the heart of the Father when he delivered demoniacs. What? That's what God's like? God is not mad at people with demons. Do you know that? Why are we? Why we get mad at them? They do stupid things. They do ugly things. They're mean. Okay, they are. You're mean too before Jesus. How many demons did you have? You probably just didn't know. But Jesus showed the heart of the Father when he said, come out. Come out. And they were delivered and free and able to serve him and have a brand new life. That's the heart of the Father. This is about Jesus and what he did with the Godhead, commissioned to bring forth whole lives, whole lives, whole lives. You know what else he did? He showed the heart of the Father when he ate with publicans and sinners. What? Well, he didn't just go eat with them. He ate with them on purpose, for purpose. He just didn't go down to the bar and belly up and drink with them. He didn't. He didn't say everything was okay. He went over to them and he sat down with them and he just was him. He just oozed heaven. He just released the presence of God. You know why? Because his Father, he spent time with him. He was always with him. He's like, I know what you need. You just need to know there is something better than what you're doing right now. This is just a pretty bad substitute, but it's a substitute. And I just want you to feel heaven. And I'm carrying it. I'm carrying heaven. I'm going to sit down beside you, and there's going to be a presence, and you're going to get a different kind of hungry. You're going to forget about the food sitting on the plate in front of you because I have words that you need to eat. You see? It's just that the desire changes. What kind of food are you going to partake of? He was showing the heart of the Father and that he wasn't afraid. You know that sin can't jump on you. No. Demons can't jump on you, contrary to proper belief. They're not going to jump on you if you are blood-bought and saved and beholding the Lamb every day. They're afraid of you. Oh my God, she's up again. What are we going to do now? That's how Satan needs to be about you. Oh, that man, I know him. He knows him, and we better get out of here. One of my favorite stories was Lester Sumrall. When the demons came into his room and moved his bed around, he was laying in bed, and they shook his bed and moved it across the room, and he goes, "Seriously? Move it back." They moved their bed back. Because they are subject to us. We're not subject to them. When you know who he is and you live in his presence, you don't have to put up with all of those manifestations that Satan tries to intimidate everybody by. You walk in wholeness and power because we have the same power that Jesus had. He was not intimidated by any demon, and you don't need to be either. But we don't act like that. Oh my God, there's a demon. Yeah, squish it. In the end, one angel is going to go padunk to Satan, the head guy. Tim Sheets says that, I'm gonna mess this up, I'm sure. I'll have to go back and find out exactly what he said. But he said something like this, very close, okay? He said, "God doesn't talk to me about Satan unless he calls him the defeated one." Was that right? Yeah. The defeated one. So, the loser. Is that what he says? The forever loser. Thank you for helping me. The forever loser. So when Satan comes, just go, oh, forever loser. You're forever the loser. You've already been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. You don't even have a voice anymore. You don't get to come in my room. You don't get to come up my stairs. You don't get to breathe on me. You don't get to move my bed. You don't get to have my kid. You don't get to have my husband. You don't get to have my wife. You don't get to have my neighborhood. You don't get to have my city. You can't have the United States of America. You cannot overtake this world, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're in the world, loser. Forever loser. We got to change our mind. We forgot who we are, people. Just slap yourself. Just slap yourself back into holiness. Slap yourself back into Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Woo. You know what else Jesus, when Jesus was showing forth what the Father's like, you know what else he did? He washed the disciples' feet. What? The Son of God, the awesome deity of heaven, the sinless Lamb, how do you think of it without crying? How do you imagine this scene without it cutting into your heart? How do you, these weirdo people, one of them sitting at the table to betray him. Jesus didn't go, "Okay, Peter, you're going to deny me, but John, thank God you love me. Judas, I'm skipping you altogether." He got down on his knees and he washed their feet and he displayed the heart of the Father and said, "If you want to go up, gotta go down." You want to have a name? Have the name above all names as your name. Let them not know who you are. Just one of those Jesus freaks. Oh, let it be so. Let me be a Jesus freak that they don't have to know about me. They don't have to know my name. They don't have to know where I live. They don't even have to know about this church. All they have to know is when I get around her, something oozes out of her, and I need it. because it makes me want to be better. It makes me want to examine my life. There's something wrong. There's something wrong inside of me because I don't feel that way. I don't have joy. I don't have that ability to overcome. I don't know what. Why do you think I drove to every class that they ever had at Abundant Life? Why do you think I went to Esther and sat at her feet? Because I knew what she's going to talk about. I knew what she was going to do. She was going to set the atmosphere, and she was going to behold the Lamb, and I was going to do it with her. I knew she was going to hear from God. I'm like, I don't know how that woman hears from God, but here's what I want, God. I want to hear from you like that. I want to know what you're doing in the room. I want to know how to help other people. I want to be that person who can look at the person and say, I know what's in operation, and I have authority over it. I'm going to help you right now. And that's why Esther goes, what's wrong with that person? I go, she's got a spirit of death. Go get it off of her. I go, it's the spirit of death. She goes, and go get it off of her. And that is why I still get emails, still to this day, from Made for More number one, thanking me for praying for her because she's still alive and free of cancer. And teaching children, I might add, a faithful person to God in the system of school. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we have authority over that. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Okay. For you poor people back there, I'm going to page 9, maybe. I think you're getting the gist of this. Jesus was faithful to love us like the Father loves him and to make us one with him. Okay, I'll say that again. Jesus was faithful to love us like the Father loves him and makes us one. He said so in John 17. If you want to know the relationship of the Father and the Son, and if you want to know how Jesus feels about all of us, then memorize John 17. It's the prayer that Jesus prays before he goes to the cross. Part of it, he says, verse 25, O righteous Father, O righteous Father, you're right. You've always been right. You'll always be right. You'll always be righteous. The world has not known you. They don't get it. They didn't know you. But I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. You know why? Because he glistened with the presence of God. And I have declared to them your name. Oh, what? I declared to them your name. Father, I want them to know you like that. I want them to believe in you because you are altogether good too. You are altogether righteous. You are altogether loving. You are altogether for them, not against them. I declared it to them. I declared it to them with my mouth. I declared it to them with my actions. I declared it to them by my essence. I declared it, and I will declare it. I will declare it. I'm going to declare it when I'm hanging on that cross. I'm going to declare it when I rise again. I'm going to declare it to them through the Holy Ghost. I am going to speak to them. I am going to be there for them. I'm going to be ever present to them. I am never leaving them. I am never going to forsake them. I am going to declare you to them forever and ever throughout eternity. With the love in which you love me, that may be in them and I in them. What? Oh, what was he concerned about? Us being loved. Do you understand? How do you not fall in love with a Savior like that? How do you not love the lover of our souls? How can we ever step away from the knowledge of Him? He is the most wonderful, 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 most majestic, amazing Savior, friend, advocate, Jesus. How that we will be in them. We will be in them. I'm doing it. I'm declaring you. I'm declaring you so that we can be in them. This is what he prays. You gonna lay down your life for somebody? You gonna get whipped like that? You're gonna do an excruciating death so that somebody else can benefit? Is faithful to lay down his life. 1 John 3:16, isn't that amazing? It's 1 John 3:16. Not just John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love. By what? Because he laid down his life for us. What does love look like? They didn't even have to put those nails in him. That was just to fulfill prophecy. He would have got up there himself. He hung on the tree because he wanted us to know what love looked like. He bled and he died because he wanted us to know what true love was like. He laid down his life so we would know how far love goes. Hebrews 1:3 says this, he is the sole expression of the glory of God. The amplified light being, the outraying radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint. He is the perfect imprint of God's image. If you want to know what God is like, change your mind. He is not mean like people have told you. He is not after you to hurt you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. There will be a judgment day, but he doesn't want you to go to hell. He's withholding his judgment, by the way. So for all those people who are saying we are in the judgment, if we were in judgment, we'd all be dead. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. By his mighty word of power. He released power into the world so that we could partake of it. And when he had offered himself, accomplished our cleansing of sin and riddance of guilt. What? He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. When he was done suffering, the suffering Jesus, when he was done suffering for you, when he was done taking authority over the enemy, when he was done being ridiculed and beaten and hanging naked, let's not forget, on a tree for you. He was cleansing you. He was like, all of my blood is just washing all the sins away. You're okay now. You're okay now. You're okay now. You don't even have to be guilty anymore. You're not guilty anymore. I'm paying the price for your guilt. I'm paying the price for your pain. You don't have to live guilty anymore. You're free. I'm making you free. I'm making you free to be one with the Father in me. I'm making you so free. You don't even know what freedom is until you know the blood has cleansed you. Oh, boy. Okay. So, this morning, Yes, this morning. I get this from, and he says, love is dripping from Jesus' very heart. This is the name of what he says. Love is dripping from Jesus' very heart. Are we getting this picture today? This is Psalms 45:8. Says, mere aloes can't have enough myrrh, aloes, cassia, perfume your robes, and ivory palaces, the music of strings, entertain you. Your royal robes release the scent of suffering love for your bride. The odor of aromatic incense is upon you. You see, that's what sat with the publicans and sinners. That's what washed the feet of the disciples. From the pure and shining place, lovely music that makes you glad is played for your pleasure. Psalms 45. This verse is literally burning inside me. There's so much to look at. Look closely at the first part. Myrrh, aloes, perfume. When you study myrrh, it speaks of suffering love. It speaks of suffering love. One that the Jewish rabbis refer to as the tears from a tree. They don't even know what they're saying. Oh, is that me? Tears from a tree. The Passion Translation footnote speaks deeply and passionately of his suffering love. Did you know that your heavenly bridegroom has suffered love for you, a love that was with his precious blood? He is dripping with it. Love is dripping from his very heart. He wears the sweet aroma of it, which speaks of the anointing spice that's burned in fragrance and perfume. You are perfumed by the very manifest presence of God. You are. Our sweet Master Jesus, because you have been with him. You don't have to wear a sign that says you're powerfully anointed. You don't have to carry around a card. You don't have to boast about your ministry. You won't have to tell somebody when you carry the favor of God, because the aroma of Jesus will fill the room where you are, even if no one mentions it. When your gaze is at your heavenly bridegroom, that sweet perfume will follow you everywhere. I'm speaking about the suffering love, and it's coming through to you. I love this term, out of the ivory palaces. Do you want your heavenly bridegroom to leave his ivory palace to visit you? Do you want your holy high priest Jesus to come and spend time with you? Is that your deepest desire? And that has to be daily. I keep saying, Lord, why isn't Liberty like busting at the seams? Why isn't every seat filled? Why aren't the people as excited as about you as I know they can be? And you know what happens is that I have to go to me. I'm not blaming you, so don't think I'm putting this on you. What about me? If I'm leading you, who am I leading you to? Thank you. And what am I leading you to? If I don't stay passionate, in spite of everything, it doesn't matter. Listen, our church has been full, and our church has been almost empty. We have done great things. We're going to talk about those things that we have accomplished. We have affected many, 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 many people's lives all over the world. So, but that was yesterday. How do we affect change today? How do we impact lives today? It has to be, this is what we do. We go after the aroma of our Savior until it is set upon us. Until everywhere we go, it comes out. Oh, boy. Okay. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. So, do you remember in the Passion, how many of you ever saw the Passion movie? Okay, most of you, okay. So, you know this one scene that gets me every time, and I didn't really understand it too much. I mean, it was horrific, and Mary is there, and after they have beaten him bloody to a pulp, she takes the rags, and she begins to sop up his blood. Remember that scene? Oh, my God. I'm like, okay, why is she sopping up his blood? And I'm thinking, now, this is not the Bible. This is the movie, but, okay, I believe it was inspired. I'm like, why is she sopping up the blood? And now I know. Because his blood meant more to her than it did anybody else. It's her son. So when I was watching The Ramp, Karen Wheaton said that she heard a true story of a man who... his kid got hit by a car and died, and his blood was spilled all over the highway. And after they came and took his body away, and there was blood still there. And the father was like standing in front of the blood of his kid. And he was stopping cars. He was making them go around it. You know why? Because that was his kid's blood. He's like, you're not going to make a mockery of my kid's blood. You're not running through with your tires on my kid's blood. That's my kid's blood. It may not mean anything to you, but it means something to me. And someday the father is going to say, that is my kid's blood. And I'm not going to let you run through it anymore. I'm not going to let you trample in the blood anymore. There is a judgment day, and on that day, he will be saying, enough. That's my kid's blood, and he deserves honor, and he deserves glory, and he deserves praise. And you walked all over him and ignored him. You chose your own way instead of the way of the Savior. And in that day, he will be glorified with those who glorified him on this earth. In that day, there will be recompense of reward. And that day, hell will open up and take those who ignored the pleadings of Jesus and the love of the Father and the blood of the cross. And we're going to live our lives as though nothing important has happened. The most important thing that needed to happen happened. It happened. It happened. And he gave himself so that we can live a free life. Free from the tactics of the devil. Free to live without sin. Free to live without sickness. Free to live without disease. Empowered by the Holy Ghost. Because of the Lamb of God that was slain. Who didn't give some makeup person. He gave his son. And his blood means something. And until you honor that blood, you won't even know who you are. Until you give honor to that sacrifice, you'll never know the power that you can have and walk in. Until you honor the blood that was shed with the stripes, you can't walk in wholeness. Until you honor the blood of Jesus, you won't know him in the way that you can. whole world needs to weep like Trish is weeping. The whole world needs to weep at the very sacrifice of the Lamb. Because when that becomes real to us, the rest of Him becomes real to us. And then we finally know who we are. Made in His image and in His likeness, able to do greater things than He did. Why? Because we have beheld the Lamb. I know that something big is coming. I know that there is something big, and something big is the church. Something big is the body of Christ who's going to get a hold of this, because I remember Esther saying, she said, Dawn, where are the songs about the blood? Where are the songs about the blood? I go, well, there were hymns about it, but I don't hear much about the songs of the blood anymore. She goes, well, we need to start singing the songs of the blood. It's about the blood. And then Angelie would go into places where nobody dared tread. And what would he do? The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And he walked back and forth until you thought, is that all he's going to do all night? Is that all he's going to do all night is just scream the blood? And you know what he did? He screamed it until things changed. He screamed it until all the witches that were trying to get in fell over like planks on the side of the road because they couldn't come near the power of the blood. You see, his blood is drenching us. His blood is saturating us. We go, oh, that's creepy to think about. No, it's not. It's the most precious thing that was ever poured out. It was a sacrifice of the Father's Son so that we can be like Him. Oh, well, you haven't even had fun yet until you serve God 100%. You don't even know what fun is. Everything else is a stupid substitute. Yeah, well, you know, I like ice cream. Okay, eat ice cream, but it won't be as good as partaking of Him. Then you forget about ice cream. You can get done now. Go eat your ice cream. But in the moments that you are built up in Him, and in His presence, they are the most precious moments of your life. Indelible ink. No one can take them from you. They are not identical. You don't get what somebody else gets. You have to go yourself to the feet of the cross. You have to go yourself to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to go to Him and say, what do you look like to me? And how do I conform to your image? How can I be the very essence of the Father like you were on the earth? Because that's all I care about. Can you just imagine a church that gets a hold of that? Can you imagine a people of God that is willing to do anything because they have been sitting, absorbing, desiring above all things Him and His ways. And they don't care what anybody else thinks about them. And they don't care what the cost is anymore. Faithful Jesus. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful, 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 faithful Jesus. The whole book is written about Him. It will stand the test of time. Every word written by the Holy Ghost, Jesus, the sacrificed one. The one willing to give it all up. The one commissioned to die so you could live. And not live a convoluted life, but a powerful, happy, joyful, fulfilled existence because you're operating in the things of the Spirit that are now normal to you. How do you conceive it? You can't without Him. You can't conceive it without Him being the object of your affection, the object of your attention. But we all can have it. We all, you know that there's no big person and little person in the kingdom. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. Free for all. Every part of Him is free to you. Everything you want of Him, you can have. You decide. What percentage of His sacrifice means something to you? And what percentage of His life lived as the Father willed it appeals to you? Oh yeah, blank slate. Foundational truths for you to walk on. You see this sermon today? Foundational truth for you to live your life according from. You can build everything from this. Everything in the Word of God is about Jesus. Everything in your life needs to be about Jesus. Everything you'll ever need is found in Jesus. Everything you ever need to do is about Jesus. Everything the world needs, it's when they are.